You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
NASA's Perseverance rover landed on Mars on February 19th, New Zealand time, to search for signs of ancient microbial life. The rover will be the first mission to collect samples of rock and regolith, which is broken rock and soil, for possible return to Earth. By collecting these samples, NASA hopes that the rover mission will lead to scientists being able to characterize the planet's geology and past climate. This is an astrobiology mission. I spoke to Haritina Mogoshanu, the executive director of the New Zealand Astrobiology Network, about the Perseverance rover and its landing on Mars just the other day. Haritina is also a founding board member of the New Zealand Mars Society. She was educated in Romania in horticultural engineering and has a master's in environmental management and a master's in international security and intelligence. Haritina explains why the Perseverance rover mission is important for astrobiological science. I began by asking what the purpose of the Perseverance rover mission is.
NASA Perseverance rover mission is being sent to Mars to look for life. And this is a first, if you wish, for a rover that has the technology that Perseverance has. People have been trying to find life on Mars for a very long time, starting with the Viking missions. When Viking missions went to Mars, they had a geochemical experiment on board. And for a little bit there, scientists were very excited that they found life. Then someone replicated those experiments that the Vikings did and realized that you could have the same result even if you don't have life. So then all scientists went back to the drawing board and they began a different approach. They began off designing instruments that can find out, understand from a geochemical point of view if there was the possibility of life on Mars. So the next generation of rovers they sent there were to figure out if they could drive on Mars and to find out if there was any water on Mars. And now we know there's been plenty of water on Mars. Actually, it was water that one could drink. This is how they describe it. And finally, the rover Curiosity, who is still there on Mars, assessed the habitability of Mars, which means in astrobiology terms is you're looking to understand if life can exist. And finally, Perseverance has a specific mission to look for life on Mars. So we're all very...
Sorry, something just went funny. So you said you're all very excited, is that right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so the rover landed only a few days ago. Could you explain the journey and the landing of the rover?
The rover went to Mars, was launched in August, and that was a very good launch. And we were actually watching the rocket launch, and it was a very exciting event. We, you know, as you do, you watch all of these things. And a few years ago, we always used to say that it takes as long to get to Mars as it takes to have a baby. But these days, they actually get this new technology. So the rover arrived on Mars now in February. So not such a long journey as it is to have a baby, although I'm sure this rover is everybody's baby in that team and in the mission. And so when it landed on Mars, it landed with a sky crane. Now, that's not something new that has been tried before with Curiosity, and but it is still an extraordinary feat. And the person who designed that, he's an engineer there at JPL. He's one of the most amazing people that I've read about. He wrote a book as well about how what it takes to design a mission like that, because you have to really think from a very, very different perspective. So he took into account the atmosphere from Mars and what can happen to rovers. We actually saw a lot of rovers that landed on Mars. Before that, rovers were landing on Mars with big inflatable bags. So they got damaged on the landing. So that wasn't too nice. This is what made everybody rethink their landing systems. And also, the atmosphere on Mars is not just like here on Earth. It's 100 times thinner. So it's really hard to find something the same way you do it here on Earth. So that's the reason why they put the rover there. They launched it with the parachute. The parachute slowed down the landing, and then the sky crane literally dropped the rover and put it on the ground and then cut off the ties and then flew on a side. And this is called the 7 minutes of terror. 7 minutes of terror, because right now between us and Mars, there is a delay in communication for 7 minutes. So we don't know what happens on Mars, right now, because Mars is so, so far away from Earth. It takes any kind of magnetic wave 7 minutes to reach us. So by the time we watched here on TV and we received the telemetry and we received all the data, the rover has already landed. So that was quite spectacular to watch. And I watched the Curiosity landing on Mars, and I watched the Perseverance landing on Mars as well. And then not too much different from that perspective. But it was an amazing engineering success for both of them to. And you know, like you can imagine now, this is the second rover they land like this, and they've done really, really well. So very impressive.
Yeah, because I can imagine it would be incredibly disappointing if 7 minutes later you find out that it didn't land successfully and something awful had happened to it within that time.
Yeah, it would be awful. And
very frustrating.
When we watched the when we watched the landing, people had tears in their eyes. So, you know,
oh, wow.
Very emotional. Yeah.
So how has technology developed since the last Mars rover journey to send this new Perseverance rover to Mars? Because I know you've spoken about the couple of rovers that have been on Mars before, but have we moved quite a bit forward in terms of technology and like safety of getting a piece of technology from Earth to Mars?
Well, lucky technology goes forward, and I think for us here on Earth, this is the best we can have in terms of what do we get from it. You know, this technology that is being developed for space actually turns back and makes wonders here on Earth. And an example that I always love is the thermometer that we put in our ear. That was, and it's an infrared thermometer, that was invented to measure temperatures of stars. So all these extraordinary efforts that people put into creating a better rover, sending it there safer, that's coming back to Earth on what we call spin-off technology, where people can take it and improve our lives here on Earth. So another example is, who doesn't have cordless tools? I don't know anyone who doesn't have cordless tools. These were invented for space travel. So in terms of this rover in particular and how it changed the technology to the next rover, the previous rover that the NASA sent on Mars was Curiosity, obviously. And Curiosity, just, you know, to have an idea, it's the size of a mini car. It's about that big. And it's nuclear powered. This current rover is also nuclear powered, and it's the same. So they use the same chassis as the Curiosity had, but they did some improvements in terms of instruments that are helping us finding life there on Mars, if there is any. So you have all these newer technology in there. There is a Raman spectrometer that is looking to detect if there is any sign of life. So on the rocks, which is extraordinary. They have this instrument called MOXIE, which is a instrument that is making air. So that's it's a trial, you know, to see when astronauts will go there finally on Mars. Have sorted out a way of producing air for us to breathe. So, and obviously the system in which they look for life itself, which is something new, because until now we didn't look for life, but we just looked for to see if Mars was habitable. But then again, what we're doing on Mars, and that's really extraordinary, we're looking for life as we know it. And that's quite, you know, this is quite something to keep in mind. thing we're looking for is we're looking for patterns that we can recognize. We don't look for someone that we don't know what it would be like. So I think that's the adventure. The other interesting thing about this trip to Mars is that Mars lost its ability to hold up the atmosphere about 4 billion years ago. So if life formed on Mars, if there was any life and then, you know, something happened to it and went underground, it had a long time to develop there underground. But we're really looking for tiny little fractions of life on this really, really big planet. So it's a big task, and I think it is extraordinary that humankind is actually doing that.
And just finally, why is this mission important for the astrobiology community?
Why is the mission important for the astrobiology community is because we're looking to see if there is life somewhere else. And that is an extraordinary question. Astrobiology is a newly created umbrella discipline that deals with three questions. One is, what is life? Because we don't know what life is. And, you know, you think, oh, surely someone must know how life formed, how we ended up from stardust, because we're all stardust. Every you know, all our chemical elements, except for hydrogen, have been one in the heart of a star. So that's, we know we're literally made of stardust. We don't know how we ended up alive. And so that's an extraordinary question. And then the second question is, where is everybody? Where are all these aliens? Where are they? Are they so far away? Where are unique? Maybe they're too far away here in our galactic neighborhood to be able to communicate with us. So, you know, if we find life anywhere, even if we find just another microorganism on Mars, which probably life would be like that, you know, you wouldn't expect to have anything else from there. But if we find anything like that, it would be extraordinary. It would mean that we're not alone. And if we don't find life on Mars, then what a better way it is to keep the perspective on how unique Earth is, how amazing and what an extraordinary situation we have here. And, you know, we're taking it for granted because we know life, we exist here for our entire lives. But when you realize that you might be alone, then I think things change a little bit. So we hope that this awareness will put things in perspective so people will think, you know, seriously to turn their lights off when they're in the house at night, and, you know, to prevent light pollution or put their rubbish in the rubbish bin, recycle, do all the things that we have to do to keep Earth alive. And I think that's what space gives this perspective. And the pale blue dot photograph that Carl Sagan took on Valentine's Day in 1990, where Earth was shown as just a pixel in space, that kind of like started changing humankind and the way we look at Earth. And the third question that astrobiology has, which is probably my favorite, is what's the future of humankind and what's the future of life? And I think for us here on Earth, for every single one of us, can answer to that question, because it is in the power of every single one of us to make sure that Earth has a better fate, that our species, that human species, will survive and will not just survive, you know, a lot of times people talk about surviving, but thrive. And when we thrive, we have this capacity and opportunity to make sure that we're taking care of everything else on Earth, that, you know, plants and animals, they don't have space technology. They wouldn't be able to defend themselves if an asteroid would strike Earth right now, you know. So that's why astrobiology, it's so important and it's so very dear to me. I think it is the science to ponder and to put these questions, bring them back, normalizing them for everybody in their everyday life and thinking, you know, what am I doing to make sure that we're going to be there, that our kids will have a bright future. And I think we can. Every single one of us can make the difference.
That was Haratina Mogoshanu, the Executive Director of the New Zealand Astrobiology Network, speaking on NASA's Perseverance rover landing on Mars on the 19th of February.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.